This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. Here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Oh, good morning, Canada. Mark Zucchino, Bob Weeks, Golf Talk Canada.
Good morning, good morning.
How are we doing, Bob?
Excellent. Well, I'd be a lot better if I could putt.
Well, that our lead? Is that our lead?
Topping today's news. It's actually not news.
Well, actually, I would say that you were not alone, sir. What Bob and I are referring to is, we had the opportunity to play golf, which is rare.
Yes.
So we got out together, which is great. Thank you, Jeff McDonald, for having you.
Program director here at TSN 1050.
Yes, the big head honcho here at 1050. Brought us out to Mandarin for a game with Brian Hayes, from Overdrive, yeah. Our drive home show. And collectively, I don't recall a putt finding the cup outside 7 feet.
Yeah.
7 feet might be the longest putt made.
By the end of the day, those were gimmies.
Yeah, just pick it up.
Just to stop the infuriation.
We can't watch anymore. And Brian Hayes can hit it, eh? Like,
first round of the year, he shot a pretty good round.
It comes out 39, was his opening nine. I don't remember what his final score was, but he comes out, and we played early. No warm-up. He shows up. No warm-up. Has not touched a club this year. 39 on the front. Rolled the ball great with the putter. Just, again, never found the...
Of course, you don't want to peak too early in the year, so August is a good time to get that
first
round.
He's saving himself for the FedEx Cup, obviously. Obviously. And that's funny because, in a former life, I was handling some sales and marketing for the Manor Golf
Club
many years ago. Matthew Houston was the head professional for my first year or two working there. And Matthew's over at Lambton now as the golf director. And Dustin Kerr-Taylor in my last year at Mandarin. And Dustin is now at Bayview as the golf director. Both great head professionals and really good guys.
Nice golf course. Has matured a lot since the last time I saw it, which was probably 10, 15 years ago anyway.
It's been a good... Probably eight years for me, Bob, and I was shocked at the
great
maturing.
Shape. Yeah, really good shape.
Yeah, John Cunningham does a great job.
Considering the drought we've had here in the southwestern Ontario area, I know they got a little rain some parts of the GTA yesterday, but not much. But it's dry out there across these parts anyway.
Now, did you play any other golf this week?
I played a little bit at my course at Weston, had some fun there, and I guess I know the greens there a little better because I was putting a little bit better there. But this is sort of I had a month of covering golf and then came back and hadn't played in a month, so kind of getting my catching up grays here, which is good, and got a few games lined up for the next couple weeks, so it should be good.
I had, the O-Dog was behind you, was he not?
O-Dog was behind
you. You've had a lot of golf with the Overdrive crew.
That's right. Now, O-Dog is in a different category. He's a really good player, for those who don't know, Jeff O'Neill, and he's a member at Weston as well. He was playing right behind me, but I was a twosome, and we don't play for a lot of big bucks, and he was playing. I think he likes, they got to make all those one-footers and everything. So
That just sounds miserable, doesn't it?
I never saw him.
I had one of those this week because I had my quarterfinal club championships. Oh. We do everything match play at
the
too,
we do too at Weston.
Yeah, which is cool because
unlike the Olympics.
Unlike the Olympics, where if we just played the normal four days.
But it's cool. It is.
It was cool to have the, to do a match. We have both. We have a stroke play club championship at the end of the year, which is done over 2 days, like a normal stroke play.
Right.
And then we have our traditional club championship has always been done match play.
Right.
Which, as at the Toronto Hunt, 9-hole golf course, very short. It's kind of one of those anything can happen kind of things, because... it's really, which is sometimes very frustrating for people like yourself and myself. It comes down to who makes the most putts.
So the Ryder Cup.
Yeah. So I had that on Wednesday. So that was. So I played some golf this week, basically.
Did you win, by the way?
I did.
Oh,
I won.
So you're in the semis.
I won. I'm in the semis playing a very good player. It's so weird because I got two, one of my best friends in the quarterfinals, and you have to play, against one of your buddies, right? And then I have another good friend coming up in the semifinals who's a very good player, a few years older than myself. He'd be in his mid-50s, but he won the club championship something like 11 times over the last 25 years.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Have you won it?
Yeah, I won it a few times, three or four. Yeah.
Wow. Got to catch up to 11, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So anyway, we got a great show today. We got to do some Olympic golf preview talk. today. Yeah. We'll take a look at some of these players who are playing this upcoming week in Rio. And
a lot of them were marching last night in the ceremonies. I saw quite a few. David Hearn and Graham Millett were front and center, right behind Kurt Harnett, who's the chef de mission. And saw Sergio, saw Henrik Stenson was out there. Justin Rose was out there. So there's lots of them out there. Ricky Fowler.
That's cool. So it's here. So those guys are excited. And, you know, I'll be at the John Deere Classic next week, so unfortunately I won't get to watch much of it, but when I can, I will watch it still. You know, I have ragged on it more than I know you've been more of a supporter. I have ragged it, but I will watch it when I can. So, right. And speaking of that John Deere Classic next week, you and I were just looking through the field on that one, which I think the highest ranked player in the field is Zach Johnson. Only one inside the top 50 right now?
I think that's, if I've read that right, just a quick
we
look.
We skimmed through it, but it looks
he's
like
the
that.
Top ranked, and he's like 21.
So that's going to be a weird one. But anyway, so we'll preview the Olympics. Adam Stanley is going to be by, and we'll talk a little web.com tour coming off that 58 by Moves Like Jagger last week.
Right.
Stefan Jagger with the 58 last week. So we'll talk a little web.com tour. We'll do Winners Weird and What? Lots coming up, but let's do some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf Town with 55 stores coast to coast. Golf Town is Canada's golf superstore. Visit golftown.com for store specials and locations near you. Golf Town, anything for golf.
Robert, we did not have an opportunity to really talk much about last week's major championships. We did on television. We had our one-hour wrap-up special that ran this week, but we haven't really engaged on radio since last week. Arya Jatanagarn winning on the ladies' major, and Jimmy Walker taking it home at Baltistral. Just some final thoughts on the week that was, and what it'll be remembered for, this PGA, really.
Rain, which is one part of it. But yeah, I think one of the interesting thoughts was that they got it all done on Sunday, and they had to kind of, you know, jimmy the rules, which we'll get into a little bit with lift clean in place and not repairing in the final round. I thought the final day, I really thought somebody was going to kind of step up and make a run, because they had a couple of good runs, a couple of low rounds that week. Robert Streb, 63, obviously.
The quietest 63 in history.
Exactly, with 15 people watching. But I mean, Jimmy Walker is a great champion, too. I think he's a good player. He's one of those guys, as we were talking about on TV, I think you so accurately put that he was a guy that we probably should have had on that list of best players never to win a major, but he was probably down, as you said, 12 to 15, I think, somewhere in there. But newfound confidence in himself, I think, was what put him over the top. And I think he's a good player. I don't think we should be surprised that he won a major.
I think the situation, however, though, was ripe. I think players were tired. A lot of the big names who have had a busy schedule and played a lot this year are tired. So I think it opened the door for somebody who hasn't had a great summer, who had fuel in the tank. And Jimmy Walker had a top 10 since January.
Right.
I think the fact that the delays, the non-repairing, the not sleeping on a 54-hole lead, and a golf course, to be bluntly honest, kept players in neutral for 16 holes and then kind of kicked the doors open with two to go. It was a weird setup. I think the situation, the recipe was perfect for a Jimmy Walker. So I'm glad at the end of the day, though, if the recipe was perfect for that to happen, I'm glad it was a Jimmy Walker and not another kind of with all due respect to Sean McKeel, not another Sean McKeel.
Right. I think Jimmy Walker is a deserving champ. I think he's a guy who can win more majors. He's not a young guy by any means, but I think he's a popular winner too.
Shocking news this week. For me, it was shocking.
Yes.
Nike, as of August, will be removing themselves from the hard goods. I guess that's this month.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the news came out officially in July. So No, it didn't. It came out earlier
August
this week,
1st. Yeah.
August 1st.
Or second, or whatever.
They are officially out of the manufacturing, the hard goods business in golf. They will remain in the soft goods, which they've been in for, you know, forever in a day. But hard goods were about 20 years now.
Yeah, well, maybe something like that. I guess if you go right back to when they started making clubs for Tiger, probably, It's to me, it's, you know, it's surprising and it's not surprising. It's surprising because they're a big player. They got a lot of weight. They got Tiger Woods. They got Rory McIlroy. They got Michelle Wee. They got, you know, some of the biggest names in golf. And yet it's not surprising because they just never seem to find a toehold to sell it all. And it's good gear. I used the irons last year. I loved them. They were really good. And you know, but you never really saw a lot of people buying them or playing with them out on the golf courses. I think one pro was saying this week on Twitter, I can't remember which one it was, a Nike guy who said, You know, he played every pro-am he played. He never saw somebody were using Nike clubs. Mm-hmm. I like the golf ball. I thought the golf ball was really good, the resin black and stuff. So I just, it just seems to me that it is surprising that they've bailed on it. But it's not surprising when you think of that they just weren't able to kind of get into it.
It's interesting because I'm from the belief that, you know, there's really not a bad manufacturer out there anymore.
Exactly.
They all make good golf equipment. You know, I'm a TaylorMade guy, always have been. And I do think TaylorMade is certainly has proven really over the long haul they're probably the leader when it comes to setting the bar, especially in the driver category.
Agreed.
And everybody else is always playing catch up with TaylorMade and driver. That, but I'm not taking anything away from Nike when I say that, because I really think they make really good stuff. I wonder if they ever got over the hurdle of how they entered the golf market, because they entered the first 2-3 years. 4 years maybe, making Fisher-Price golf equipment. That stuff was just not up to snuff. Then they hired the right people, got the right engineers in place, and made really solid, like the last decade, they have made really solid, great golf equipment right through top to bottom. I wonder if the hardcore golf audience, the guys that you play golf with at Westin, the guys, if they ever got over the stigma of the way they entered the golf market.
It just seems that people really never saw them as an authentic golf club company.
That's the word I'm looking for.
And the ping, yeah. Right? And you know, it's people are sitting on this going, "Well, this is terrible news." But you also got to look at the fact that Callaway's shares went up 8%, so there's still lots of golf equipment out there.
Just got word official from behind the glass, 96, so 20 years. 96,
20 years, okay.
Yeah. So in more financial news, Golfsmith mulling over filing for bankruptcy protection and going into, I guess that's Chapter 11 in the U.S., and in search of a new owner. This was always a weird one for me, Bob, because that affects one of our sponsors here, which is Golf Town, which is a very extremely successful brand that do a great job. 55 stores across Canada. They are the name when it comes to golf retail in this country. And, you know, how many years back is that when that swallow up and they moved things down? I think it's San Antonio.
A couple of years, maybe 3 years ago, four years ago. So it was very weird. You had Golf Town, owned by a Canadian company, OMERS, Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement, and they take over Golfsmith, and yet they move everything down to Golfsmith. Golfsmith wasn't profitable before, and yet you let them run the operation, which was always weird. And I know some high executives in some of the equipment companies were kind of scratching their head a little bit at that. You know, people in the United States trying to operate a Canadian company, and it's very different, as we know, and it's just, you just can't do it the same way. What I've been told about this in a couple phone calls yesterday is that this is not so much about golf equipment sales as it is about bad leases and real estate. Mm-hmm. So they're in some bad situations.
Which
bad
to me
stores.
Sounds like, again, a U.S. story.
It is. It's nothing to do with the Canadian
nothing
arm.
To do with the Canadian
one guy told me yesterday.
Yeah, I completely
he said it was all about that. And if they can go with bankruptcy, they can get out of a lot of these leases and they may resurface.
Well, there you go. Either way, I think the Golf Town brand is going to be solid through and through, regardless of how that shakes up down there. So, finally, in news and headlines, Phil Mickelson, who's had a great year, Bob, but heartbreak at the British Open and winless. You know, came so close at AT&T, came so close at Royal Troon, a few other occasions where he was in the mix, Memphis down the stretch, etc. Suggested this week that he doesn't need a win to validate his season. That there's proof in the pudding that he's back and ready to go for the next 24-month run.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a long way from when he used to sort of measure his years by majors won and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think you got to look at 46. You know, he's no spring chicken yet. He still has a hell of a game. So
I think Phil, no one's a bigger Phil fan than I am. I think Phil's talking himself into that. I think he needs that win to point on the board and say, see.
Yeah, it is. I think so.
And he's going to play for the first time ever all four FedEx Cup events. So you never know. So, all right, on the other side, we're going to take a look at the Olympics and some of the players and what that field looks like down at Rio. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada was brought to you by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Sacchino Weeks, Mr. Weeks and I just chatting a little off the air. He has a very disturbing Winner's Weird and What coming up. We were just chatting a little off the air, and I said, well, what do you got today? And he said, he gave me his weird, or so I can't remember. I think it's his weird. And regardless, it's disturbing, and we're going to do that later on in the show, so you don't want to miss this. It's just wrong. Just, I'm very upset. Now I'm upset about
it. Yeah, like, I know. It's disheartening.
It is. Okay, Bob, Olympics. Golf will kick off this week. Let's look at the men's side right now. Bubba Watson is the highest-ranked player in the world, along with Henrik Stenson.
The lowest rank, by the way, I looked this up for you. It's Jose Felipe Lima, who is representing Portugal. Mm-hmm. He is ranked 398th in the world. Right. So we got a long way from Bubba to Jose Felipe.
Well, I also believe that he's playing in my men's night league next week as well as his tune-up for this. He couldn't get in. He just got in the field. But... now, the American flags, obviously, on the board on this one, they've got four, because if you're inside, was it the top 20?
Top 15.
Top 15, yeah. You automatically would qualify. So the Team America there, flying the four flags of Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed, and Matt Kuchar. Now, you know, Reed playing quite well right now. He might be the hottest. Him and Stenson might be the two hottest players in this field right now.
Somehow I just can't see Patrick Reed as a gold medal winner. Maybe that's me wishing rather than thinking about it, But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Stenson probably playing pretty well. And then you look at the golf course, and it's kind of linksy. It's kind of...
It looks like
tree-lined.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? The golf course to me, and you know more about this golf course than I know, because I know you've read up more on it and have been more engaged with this Olympic golf than I have. But at first glance of this golf course and what I hear about it, and after your description of linksy, it reminds me a little bit of Australian links, like something like a royal, like a sand belt area in Australia.
Exactly. Pinehurst, maybe, that kind of thing, without the trees.
Without the trees. So that certainly would scream towards the players that played well, in a way, at Royal Troon.
Yeah.
He's in the field. He's the champion, Henrik Stenson. But here we go. I picked Sergio Garcia to win this. You told me Sports Illustrated also picked Sergio Garcia.
Sports Illustrated or the Associated Press picked him to win and be the gold medalist.
I'm picking it for other reasons. I just think it's fitting. I think that a guy who has, you know, lived for basically 15 years on the dreaded list of, you know, best player in the world without a major. He's been in the top five on that list, between 1 and 5, for 15 years.
Yeah.
It's like eternity, right?
That's,
it's like
right. The life member.
He's a lifer on it. It would be so fitting that he goes out and wins a gold medal, because, you know, remember all those years where he said, you know, oh, the Ryder Cup's more important to me than a major, right?
Yeah.
He used to say that forever. He'd deflect, deflect, deflect. Sergio, another one here, he could go out and win a gold medal and say, this is bigger than any major that I could ever win, and more deflect.
Yeah,
more
right.
Deflect.
Yeah,
that's right. What I see coming here.
It's interesting. It's you know, one of the interesting things is that there may be some playoffs for, like, second and third, or even first. Like, you can't just have a tie for the third spot. So I think that's going to be interesting as well to see who's in there for the medals.
You know what? To me, that is the most compelling possible angle.
Mm-hmm.
It is 72 holes of stroke play, which I think they dropped the ball on.
Oof, everybody does, yeah. Except apparently the guys who started it.
Yeah. I just, you know, there's no team concept at all. So, you know, really it's just... This is just an individual 72-hole stroke play golf tournament. Again, we have 48 of those.
Right.
We really didn't need another one.
Right.
But what you just outlined there, if two guys tying for second place or two ladies tying for second place and having to go out and have a playoff for a silver medal, that's where the more compelling angles might be.
It's interesting how... You know, when you talk to the other sport I cover is curling, and when the curling got in the Olympics, they said some of the guys said, you know, the biggest game you can win is the semifinal, because if you get into the final, you're guaranteed a medal, and all of a sudden, oh God, the pressure's off. But if you get into that 3-4 game and you lose, even all this way, you finish fourth, you go home with a handshake some autographs or something,
participation ribbon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, those are great.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what that happens. If it happens here, it'd be sad for someone, especially if it was one of our Canadian guys, to go home without a medal. But it'd be nice to see our guys, you know, step up and go in there.
Well,
I'll tell
you know, they're excited about it, right? They're prepared,
they're
and they're excited. So that they've got a leg up on the field right there.
And the one good thing, too, is the coaches have been down. They've gone down. Derek Ingram and Tristan Mullally, the men's and women's coaches, respectively, have gone down. They've done preparation on the course. I think they've each made a couple of trips down there. They've scouted the course. They've got a game plan in there. So I think as best as you can prepare your team ahead of it, the Canadians are that.
Now, on the ladies' side, you want to talk Canadians.
Yeah.
Brooke Henderson, or as Bob so fondly likes to refer to her, as Brooke M. Henderson.
Yeah, right.
I know that drives you nuts. I'm looking at the list right here. There's that M. Still, Bob. Brooke Henderson is one of the heavy favorites here. She is 1B right now behind Lydia Ko. And I guess, you know, with all due respect, too, to Arya Jatanagarn, who has had just a tremendous year and coming off a win. But Brooke Henderson is maybe Canada's best hope at a gold medal?
Well, she's certainly one of them. You know, we've got like the world champion pole vaulter and Sean Barber and some of the trampoline people, but she's right up there. She's certainly in there. And I think, again, one of the other listings I saw, predictions, and it may have been Sports Illustrated or Associated Press, I get them mixed up, had her as the gold medal winner. So she's got a break for one good thing. That's one good thing.
So I know she needed some time off.
She had her big charity tournament yesterday in Ottawa. She had a little... they gave her a big send-off, and I think she's resting. They're going to go down to Houston this week and have kind of a pre-Olympics camp with the Canadian team, and then they'll go on into Rio.
We only have about a minute left, Bob, but I know this is a big can of worms, but if I had to give you all the power, all right, Bob, you're in charge, format's on you. What would you have done? Would you have gone match play route? Would you have gone stroke play for a few days and then get it down to a match play scenario like we do with the Dell?
I think you got to do something with match play. I think that's the best way to do it. And I do like it if you could have a match for the gold and the silver medal. I think that would be awesome. The only other thing I could see would be maybe doing it like the old World Cup where you have two-man teams and you go alternate shot and better ball, alternating 2 days.
That would have been cool. See some different formats or something like that. Yeah, I agree with you. Well, we'll see. You know, and golf in the Olympics is still a question mark. It's guaranteed to be in for one more.
Yeah, 2020 in Tokyo.
For that, for sure. I think you're going to see different levels of participation for that one.
I think you'll see a different format for that one.
I think
well.
So. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. So I think not only are we going to see participation from the best players in the world on a much different scale, I think we're going to see a different format, and maybe that will keep it in the Olympics and give it a springboard. Let's see.
Fingers crossed.
All right, coming up next, Adam Stanley covering the web.com tour for PGAtour.com this week. We had a 58 last week on the web.com tour. We'll start there, and we'll talk what's happening there, maybe some of the big storylines with as they're winding down their season as well. Let's not forget, web.com tour finals, the only road to the PGA Tour. That's it. All right, this is GTC.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. Here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino, Weeks. Big news last week, Bob. I know it's kind of weird because it happened during a week where there was two majors. Obviously, PGA Championship, and then the ladies had a major, so it was late in the ladies' British Open. So, unfortunately, the web.com tour, on some weeks, you know, the story would have been much bigger, and it should have been. There was a 58 last week.
58? That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, these numbers are just getting ridiculous. And you and I talked about this on television. We said, okay, so there's a 58 on the web.com tour, and we've seen three 63s in the last two men's majors. There was a 62.
There was a 62 at the Ricoh British Women's.
That's right,
tournament.
The ladies.
Yeah,
so that's
Miriam Lee, who didn't win.
Right. So
we had a 60 with Johnny Vegas a couple weeks ago
and didn't win.
Right.
Some vindication at the RBC Canadian Open.
Saw him marching in the ceremonies last night, by the way.
I just don't know why the game is getting easier for everybody but you and I.
Yeah,
I just know that's at the end of the day. I guess that's my point in all this. So, joining us now, he is in Kansas. I think that's where they're playing this week. Yeah, it's Kansas, Overland Park.
Kansas City.
Nicklaus Golf Club at Lionsgate for the Digital Ally Open. Our friend, Mr. Adam Stanley. Adam, how are you this morning, my friend?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Now, listen, the buzz from last week, Stephen Jaeger. Is it Stephen or Stephen?
It's Stephen.
Because I've heard it a few ways. Okay, Stephen Jaeger. It's 58. Are they still buzzing? Are people still talking about this a week later?
Yeah, a little bit. It was definitely a hot topic sort of Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. He was on the Golf Channel. He was doing a bunch of sort of local media hits as well. But I was talking to him on the driving range on Wednesday, and he's like, I'm glad that that's over, because at the end of the day, you know, it's a whole new week this week. It's another chance for him to try to get into the 25 and get a PGA Tour card. Obviously, his win last week and his it was a record-setting performance. I mean, yes, the guy shot 58 on Thursday, which was unbelievable. But then he went on to shoot 30 under par for the 4 days, and he did end up winning. So the guys who shot 21, 22 under, they still lost that tournament by 8 strokes. It was pretty unbelievable. So definitely a lot of talk about that. But, you know, golf is golf, and Jagger missed the cut this week. So, you know, it just goes to show you that it's a whole new week every time they go out there.
A good story at the top of the leaderboard. Chris Smith, who's a wonderful guy. I've had a chance to get to know him a little bit. I haven't seen him in years, but he's a super guy. A little older. He's not the typical Web.com Tour event player who's sort of usually a younger guy, but he's in his late 40s, mid-40s, that pre-Champions Tour era, and has a wonderful backstory. But nice to see him leading.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's 47 years old, and we were looking it up last night and saw he's the second oldest guy in the field behind Len Matisse. He of losing in the playoff to Mike Weir in 2003. So he's kind of just out there grinding. He's still got his eyes on the Champions Tour, but at the end of the day, shoot 65, 64 through two rounds, and he's up there and he's leading by one. So definitely a tremendous story, and just a really good guy that isn't taking anything for granted. He knows that he's sort of in, you know, as the saying goes, he's in this back nine of his career, just waiting for the Champions Tour. But, you know, Bob, like you said, super good guy, and just is playing extremely well this week, and just says, you know, the golf course fits his eye.
For those who don't know, Chris was playing a Web.com Tour event a number of years ago, I think 2009, and his family was driving home. His daughter was driving the car, and they went head on into a bus. His wife was killed. Daughter and son thrown from the car, critical injuries. They're okay now, but there was also a weird connection because the bus actually had a Canadian semi-pro football team in it, and a couple of those guys now who were on that bus were actually now in the CFL, or were in the CFL at some point. So it's a weird connection. Terrible story, but he's recovered from it. He's come back from it, and now Chris is playing some good golf again.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story. And in 1997, Chris was also the very first guy to ever get that Battlefield promotion. He was the first guy to win 3 times on the tour. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting story because Wes Bryan, who's won twice, he's only 2-3 shots back, and he has a chance to get his third win of the year this week as well.
Adam, we had 7 Canadians to start in this event in the field. Roger Sloan is the highest Canadian on the board right now, and Ryan Yip, they're the only 2 of the 7 to make the cut. So a lot of strength in numbers on the Web.com Tour. But to me, the Web.com Tour, in a way, this year is starting to take similar shape to the PGA Tour. We have a lot of strength in numbers, a lot of Canadian flags. With the exception of Brad Fritch, who has had a great year and is the only Canadian right now in that all-important top 25, I was just expecting more out of the Canadian flags on both tours this year. Now, there's still time. We have got 4 weeks left, but they've got to make a push now if we're going to get some of these red and whites promoted to the big dance.
Yeah, it's a totally fair point. And even Brad, who is 10th on the money list with a victory and a second-place finish, he's had a pretty bad season off the golf course with the injury. The guy's only played 9-10 tournaments this year, and they've had 17 on the schedule. So, you know, Brad is pretty well guaranteed a PGA Tour card for next year, which is great. But the rest of the guys, Taylor Pendrith, Mackenzie Hughes, Albin Choi, these guys definitely do need to make a push. Pendrith and Hughes, for sure, they're not even in the 75, which gets them a guaranteed Web Tour card for next year. So Albin Choi is about 60th on the money list, so he's in good shape despite having withdrawn this week because of a back injury that seems to be sort of a reoccurring injury. Adam Svensson's also about 60th, so he's pretty well got Web Tour status locked up again for next year. But all these guys are not entirely pleased with their first go around on the Web Tour. They're all okay with how they've been doing, but certainly they've taken a lot to get used to. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of new golf courses for these guys. And even take someone like Taylor Pendrith, who is the longest hitter on the planet, for argument's sake. I mean, he went -4 for these 2 days and still missed the cut by 1. So every single week they have to go so low, and that's just something that they're trying to get adjusted to as their career sort of develop out on the web tour.
Yeah, it's tough when you walk out, you got the afternoon tee time, you step up, you haven't hit a shot yet, and you're like 10 back sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I understand Roger Sloan cut his hair. What is going on with that? That's his trademark.
I didn't even recognize him at first, because now he kind of just looks like everybody else out here. But he's still wearing the armband, but once I kind of had to do a double take, but he's here with his wife. And yeah, sure enough, he trimmed his trademark lock down to just a regular haircut now.
Well, it seemed to work. Man, he shot 64 yesterday.
Yeah, him and his, I guess it was just something new. He said, you know, it was time for something different. And yeah, his group actually shot 20 under par as a collective threesome on Friday. So definitely just all the guys were feeding off one another. And Roger said to me after his round, he just, you know, it was one of those days where everything was clicking and he feels good. So hopefully he can make a move. But Bob, like you said, I mean, the guy's 8 under par, shot 64 yesterday, still 5-6 shots back of the lead. So some work to do yet.
Adam, before we let you go, I just want to switch gears for a second because Bob and I were just having an Olympic chat, and I'm just curious. I know, obviously, you are head deep right now to the Web.com Tour. There's only 4 events left before we hit the Web.com Tour Finals. So we'll do this again as we head towards those Web.com Tour Finals and get an update on where our Canadians stand when those finals, all-important finals, kick off. But if I were to give you a magic wand and say, okay, you're the guy setting up the format for the Olympics, would you have done something different? Would you have tried to incorporate some match play or team concept to what we're going to see this upcoming week in Rio?
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen some more of the team aspect in there. I'm not 100% sure how it all would have worked out, especially between the men and the ladies, but and considering that there are not equal numbers in all the countries, but certainly a team aspect would be fascinating. I think for the first crack at it, you know, to do this stroke play that all the players are pretty much used to over 4 rounds is fine. It'll identify probably the best individual golfer at the end of it all. But yeah, definitely for 2020, hopefully they can add in some team competition to just add in an extra layer that the guys aren't used to. That would make it a little bit more fun, not only for them, but also for the viewers. That said, it looks like they're, especially Ricky Fowler on Snapchat and some of the other guys, it looks like they're already having a lot of fun just being there, being in the Olympic Village. So it should be a fun couple weeks, and looking forward to seeing how the golf course holds up to some of these guys. There's also 4 web tour guys who are playing in the Olympics this week. So it should be great. It should be a neat little competition there.
You can follow him on Twitter at Adam_Stanley and get his stuff at PGAtour.com, all his insights into the Web.com Tour. Adam, we'll do this again as we head towards the Web.com Tour Finals. Thanks, and enjoy your travels, and enjoy all those birdies, because the Web.com Tour is never short.
He was at the Jays game last night.
You were at the Jays game last night.
I was. The Jays played against the Royals, and they won. And Taylor Pendrith and Mac Hughes and a couple other guys were there, which was cool. It was a lot of fun.
Keep going. We need good luck like that.
Yeah. That's it. Adam, take care. Thanks, man. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
Adam Stanley, folks. There it is. Bob, on the other side, we're going to wrap up our national hour. We'll update people on some things going on with the Golf Talk Canada TV, because our schedule is all over the place for the next week or so for the Olympics. 20 weeks TaylorMade. We got an update as well. I want to tell you what single Mark life does, because as you know, I am getting married again. You know,
that's a lot of that going around.
Yes, there's a lot of that. You and I were breaking down the Golf Talk Canada extended family the other day, and the amount of wives in the Golf Talk Canada family the other day. But this time, this is the last one for sure. If I can't get this right, I need to truly have my head examined.
You'll
best best woman on the planet.
Once, so
yeah. If I can't get this, she's the best. So if I can't, if this is wrong, just shoot me. In fact, okay, you got to promise me you'll just take me out back and shoot me if I get this wrong. But I did discover last week what single Mark would be like. Ooh. Yeah, it was just very, very, basically I'm a golf bum. We'll get to it next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit floor liners, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Just a little heads up, Golf Talk Canada Intelligent continues throughout the summer right into October past the Ryder Cup. But for the next couple of weeks, scheduling a bit of an issue with the Olympics and whatnot. So our usual 2 p.m. Wednesday time slot is a bit of a roll of the dice. So you might want to set the PVRs if you're a regular on Golf Talk Canada TV and you don't want to miss an episode. Just check your local listing, set your PVR, etc., because we're going to be all over the map for the next 14 days. 20 weeks TaylorMade will continue. There's 3 weeks left and then a grand prize coming. If you haven't participated this year, you can still win. We gave away over $10,000 worth of TaylorMade product and Adidas product throughout the summer. You must follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. Like us on Facebook, GTC TV and Radio. Join our Facebook group, Golf Talk Canada. If you do all three things, you have three times the chance to win each week. So get involved. There's still plenty to go and a big grand prize coming. Okay, Bob, so last week you and I are in New Jersey.
Jersey.
And on the Wednesday, so we shot Golf Talk Canada Television on the Tuesday.
Yep.
And on Wednesday night, my better half was coming in to Newark Airport, right? Which is about 30 minutes east of Baltusrol and 30 minutes west of the... No, it wasn't. It's kind of in between Baltusrol and Manhattan.
It may be the worst major airport on the face of the planet.
Well, so she's coming in on the last Porter flight. So she's landing at about 10 o'clock. So I've got the entire day off by myself in New York.
This is dangerous.
Okay, this is it. So I kind of figured this is what, like, Mark on the road... By himself, single Mark. This is what single Mark would be like. And I discovered that single Mark is very boring. He has one objective in mind. Play as many golf holes as possible in one day.
GF, what a shot.
So I woke up, crack of dawn, and I showed up at Wingfoot, not unannounced.
Oh, okay.
It was set up. I show up at Wingfoot Golf Club, and I played Wingfoot East and Wingfoot West, 36 holes, and I was done before 12:30 in the afternoon.
Really?
I was done.
You were single?
I was
by yourself?
Single, by myself, with a caddy, no cart. We teed off at 6:45 in the morning on the east. We were done the east in 2 hours.
Wow.
And the starter said to me, I didn't have you going off the west this afternoon, but there's nobody out there. If you'd like to go, go ahead. I said, let's just keep going. And it was one of those days, too, where you're hitting it where you're looking.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, and I'm not grinding out 2.5, 3 footers, right? I'm like, let's just go. Boom, right. Boom, boom. I just want to play the golf course. We ran through. 36
wow.
holes at Wingfoot.
12:30.
12:30. So now I'm sitting around and I'm thinking to myself, well, Heather doesn't land till 10.
I've only got the 9.5 hours left.
I can't hit a patio because I got to go pick her up.
Yeah.
So that ain't happening. So I go, I call Trump at Ferry Point, the new Trump course on the east side of Manhattan. This is who I am. This is why I'm here. I just played 36 at Wingfoot. The guy goes, sir, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. How did you play? Yeah. I just played 36. He thinks I'm insane. Sure enough, I go down to Trump Ferry Point, play another 18 holes. I played 54 holes of golf, picked up Heather at the airport, and collapsed.
Yeah,
that's basically.
My gosh. And it wasn't like it was cool out either.
It was smoking hot.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. I just played 54 holes of golf, and I said to Heather, I said, see, if I was single, I'd basically be a golf bum. That would basically be my life, a complete golf bum.
That's a pretty good life.
Yeah.
For a day, anyway.
I told that story to a couple of guys this week, and they looked at me like, what is the problem with that?
Yeah, really.
You complain. Right. I go, well, geez. There's only so... But you know what that is part of? That, I got to tell you, is part of the fact that we've barely played golf this year.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, I've got a day off with my clubs in one of the best golf cities in the world. I'm going to play golf. So... we're going to say goodbye to our national audience. We're going to come back with Winners Weird and What. We're going to come back with a leaderboard report because there are Canadians with a chance to win on multiple tours around the world.
Yep.
So we'll get to that. Bob, you got any golf coming up this week before we go?
Maybe a little game on Sunday. We'll see.
Well, nice. How's Weston? Is it tickety boo?
Great shape. I mean, everyone around these parts of southwestern Ontario could use a big, like, 2 days of rain, solid rain. And I know people are drying out. It's funny, when I flew home from New Jersey, you fly over and you can see where the sprinkler lines are when you fly over the golf course, because you can see what's brown and what's green.
Well, enjoy that. We'll do 30 more minutes. Winners, Weird What? Bob Weeks will have the tee. 20 weeks of TaylorMade continues. Follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. Like us on Facebook, GTC TV and Radio. And join our Facebook group, Golf Talk Canada. We're back with 30 more minutes for those of you in Hamilton on 1150, Toronto at 1050, or listening online or our mobile to go app. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Thank you to our national audience for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca. We'll return after this with more of Golf Talk Canada. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. The bonus 30 for the lucky listeners in Toronto on 1050 and Hamilton at 1150 and online and anywhere else you're finding us for the extra 30. I'm pretty sure there's someone out there. We're holding an antenna yelling, "Are you listening?"
That's someone down the hall here at the TSN headquarters.
Bob and I just witnessed a three putt from 6 feet from Vijay Singh at the Travelers Championship.
Or Beach.
I don't need to see any of that.
No. I saw enough of it in person yesterday.
Last thing I need to look at. So. All right, let's do it. 30 more minutes, Bob. We're going to come back with a leaderboard update. There are Canadians with a chance to win. Before we get to that with our travel around the world of golf, it's time for Winners, Weird, and What, and you have the tee, sir.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
Well, my winner this week, Marco, is the much maligned and much delayed Olympic golf course. By all accounts now, well, actually not by all accounts, by Cam Cole's account. Cam is a great golf writer from Vancouver. He's down at the Olympics. He's done, I think, 12 Olympics now. He was sort of the first journalist to take a walk around. This week he went, I think a couple days ago, walked around it, and he gave this as a description of it. He said, it's not exactly Augusta National, but it's not Goat Hills either. So he actually said he walked around, he didn't see one mosquito, he didn't see any capybaras. Apparently there are 40 living there. He said, as we had talked about earlier, it looks like something from the sand dunes or sand belt area, I should say. And he said it's going to be a really good test of golf. There's some wind out there. There's water around it. It's in good condition, firm turf. So I think my winner this week is going to be Gil Hance, the designer who built this thing. And finally, they got this golf course up and running. And I think the players are actually out there today to test it out for the first time. So congratulations. They've got a golf course. We'll see how it plays for these guys going out there. My weird this week, as you alluded to earlier, is a heartbreaking one. And this is a upstate New York Police Department had their annual golf tournament. And authorities say they are investigating reports that two police officers used a golf cart to purposely run down and kill a groundhog.
That's awful.
Isn't that terrible?
It's brutal.
It was in Troy, New York, and they said they saw them going out. They drove over tee boxes and onto greens with the city-owned Freer Park Golf Course on Friday. I'm wondering if there's any alcohol involved.
I'm just thinking. You think there's any booze involved in this?
And they said two men used the cart to hunt down the animal and run it over near one of the course's holes, and they killed it. So they're investigating.
It's disgusting. And you know what's weird? And listen, by all means, this is not a political statement by any means, because I don't want to get involved with, you know, it's horrible what's happened to police and whatnot. I mean, by no means am I suggesting that there's anything wrong with our police squads and authorities, but these two guys carry a gun.
Yeah, well, that's
okay,
right.
And they're fueled by booze, going out and killing an animal. And you know what they say about serial killers, Bob? About murders? It starts with the animals, right?
With the animals.
Disgusting. I'm a big animal guy. So
awful. And my what this week is, I think, a story that probably most people have heard. But what is going on when the one of the guys who's in the Olympics doesn't know the format?
This is fantastic.
Matt Kuchar was asked this week. He's playing at the Travelers. He was asked about what he thought about the Olympics. And as the discussion developed, he actually had no clue that there was not a team format. He had to go back and forth with Jason Sobel from ESPN and say, "You kidding me? Are you sure there's no team format? There's nothing going on." Now, I know he was a late addition, but you're playing in the Olympics, Matt. You should probably know what's going on.
Okay, before I take the tee here, this brings up something else, too. And I completely agree with you. How do you not know the format? But if you're Matt Kuchar and you're Bubba Watson, what are you doing at the Travelers spot?
Yeah.
Like, we have just had this long conversation about coming off this stretch of golf that has been absolutely insane. In fact, you know, PGA Championship's a major. One of the feelings I got when I arrived at Baltusrol and just kind of watched some of the players and their body language and the way they were warming up, a lot of them didn't even want to be there. It was a major,
yeah,
and they didn't want to be there.
You're right.
Jason Day played, nine practice holes on the Wednesday afternoon?
Played a quick 18.
Quick 18, okay. Like, there was very little energy or enthusiasm for a major.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're going to go to Rio. Why are they in the field? This is bizarre to me.
I don't know if you follow Ricky Fowler on Snapchat, yeah, those of you out there listening, but he had tons of pictures. He had a picture with him and Dillette and Hearn. He had all sorts of great stuff going on there. I think get yourself down there. Enjoy the Olympics, man.
If you're a guy who said, yeah, I'm excited about this and I want to be a part of this, then enjoy the entire experience,
right?
Because that's really what it's all about. It's not about a 72-hole golf event, really. You know, we got, like I said, we got enough of those. Get in the opening ceremonies. Talk to other athletes.
Yeah.
Go to events. Enjoy the kayaking.
The beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball, yeah. So anyways, that is a weird one. All right, Bob, the tee is mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, the truth is, Bob, I'm going to upset all our traditionalists right now in the audience.
Uh-oh.
Because my winner this week, and I said this on TV as well this week, is the PGA of America. In a year where, you know, we had so many drop balls from governing bodies, I'm sure a summer the USGA would like to forget. The PGA of America did something that I think, they needed to do, and they went to Lift Clean in Place on the final round on Sunday of a major, which is the first time ever in the history of the game they went to Lift Clean in Place in a major. And you saw the rain that golf course took. It got pounded. And I know it wasn't popular by a lot of the traditionalists, but if they didn't go to that, they would have had luck involved with the outcome of their championship. And I think after the summer of majors that we watched, they said, we got to put this back in the players' hands. We want the players to decide this championship. And by going to Lift Clean in Place, they removed the luck involved, rewarded keeping it in the short grass instead of penalizing keeping it in the short grass. Because, Bob, I would have hated to seen, like, we would have been dealing with mutters,
yeah,
all day.
Crazy shots, balls flying off. And you know what? The scores weren't crazy low. Like, Phil was expecting, you know, maybe a 62. Didn't happen. So I think it was still a good test, and I still think the best player won.
Right.
Good
and,
for them.
And good for them by saying, hey, we don't want some crazy hook out of nowhere for no reason to decide this championship. Right. I know a lot of people out there are scratching their heads saying, you know, mud on the ball, can it really do that? Enough mud gathers often enough where it's a occurrence on every hole, which it would have been, sooner or later that's going
to
happen.
There were lots of mud balls, I can tell you that. The guys got to clean them off, though, yeah, but there were lots of indications of it.
My weird this week is some of the reaction from the Nike announcement. So, as we outlined in news and headlines at the start of the show, Nike has removed themselves from the manufacturing component of the golf community, going to deal with apparel only, shoes, etc., no longer making equipment. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs, which is very sad. And some of the players on tour have acknowledged that. Rory McIlroy just signed a monster deal with Nike. Is this affected? Obviously, he'll still wear the swoosh and whatnot. Is there a portion of that contract that's tied to equipment? We don't know the details. Things like that will shake out. Tony Finau just signed a 5-year deal with
Brooks
Nike.
Brooks Koepka. Scott Rogers.
So the shakeout of this, we won't know. The most bizarre problem, and why it's my weird, is the articles being written online. Who will get Tiger? What will Tiger's manufacturer be?
Yeah.
What clubs will Tiger? Hello? Tiger doesn't play professional golf anymore. Okay? Will he? Maybe. I tend to think that there's a possibility that we might see him at his World Challenge later on this year. Maybe. I don't know. It depends on who you read. There's a whole part of me, Bob, that thinks we will never see Tiger again play professional golf.
That's out there. Some people think that. There's could be some serious injuries. But, you know, you don't know. Nobody knows. I'm sure Tiger doesn't even know. I'm sure Rory doesn't know. I'm sure Tony Finau doesn't know. Everyone's trying to explain it.
It's unbelievable, but I'm just shocked at the amount of conversation and articles and chatter on social media about who will land Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I know Tiger's the greatest player of all time. With all due respect to Jack Nicklaus, if you are using the criteria of who played the game at the highest level for a period of time of significance, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, and you're not going career record, for me, Tiger, for a 10-year hunk of time, played the game at a level I've never seen, and I don't believe anybody else has. Just my opinion, okay? Best ever. Right now, what is he, like 500th in the world?
Yeah,
and he doesn't play golf anymore. I really don't care who he signs with as manufacturer, okay?
When he plays again, we'll worry about
it. We'll worry about it, yeah. Yeah, just play 4 rounds of golf. Let's start there. 4 rounds of golf, not on the hosel. Now, there is a cruelty to animals theme going on here, Winners Worldwide. Uh-oh. I was very upset at your weird. I'd like to slap those cops across the face. In fact, I'd like to do worse to those cops across that poor groundhog. You know, I'm one of those weird, like, I'm a weird cat. Like, I'd have no problem hunting down a human being that deserved it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, like, there's a lot of bad people out there in the world. Yeah. I'll go hunt them down, no problem. They deserve it. But the poor groundhog, you know.
I know.
Now, PETA, though, however,
this is great.
It's just bizarre. Like, you know, they do a lot of great things, PETA. This week, kind of wasted their time. They sent a letter to Andrew Beef Johnson, who has kind of really captured the golf world by storm. You spoke about him over the last couple of weeks. He was kind of like the new John Daly without the substance abuse and fines.
Right.
All right. So, but in terms of how people love him, and he's just kind of the everyday guy, and he's got that personality, and he's jolly, and there's a lot of like about Andrew Beef Johnson. PETA sent him a letter requesting him to change his name.
Yeah, right.
His nickname, out of Beef. Of course, he just signed a deal with Arby's,
right,
which is perfect. And they suggested he try some vegan steaks and change his name to Andrew Tofu Johnson.
What is
the world coming to? Really?
Crazy.
What is the world coming to? When someone at PETA takes the time to reach out to Beef Johnson. Now, apparently, too, I found out through all this that his nickname Beef started when he was a kid because that, for lack of a better term, that hideous beard.
Yeah.
His buddy said he looked like a piece of beef hanging off his chin as a kid growing up.
Yeah, I think it was something to do with his hair.
With the hair and the beard. Nothing to do with his diet, apparently, of consuming large amounts of cow. Has nothing to do with this. So, but what is the world coming to? We have cops hunting down
groundhogs
and PETA sending letters. I think what should have happened here is PETA should have sent a letter to the cops.
There you go.
And Andrew should have hunted the two police.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly.
That's how this story then makes sense at the end of the day. All right. On the other side, we will update all leaderboards from around the world of golf, including two Canadians with a chance to win on two different tours. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club, private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at CedarBraeGolf.com. Here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, Zacchino and Weeks. Next week, I'll be at the John Deere Classic doing play-by-play. You'll be in studio. The following week, I'll be in Prince Edward Islands.
And I'll be in Whistler.
And you'll be in Whistler.
So, we don't know what we're going
to
do yet.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. I'm looking forward to getting out to
That's PI. Truly when we'll be coast to coast.
That's right. You can't get it. I'll be playing the the best of the best out in Golf PEI. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. I noticed I saw some guys were out there this week. Jeff Brook from the Globe was out. They had a little press trip going out there. Yeah. It's a great place to play golf.
Are you playing in Whistler?
I am. I'm going to play at Big Sky for sure. We're going out there. My nephew's getting married, so we're going to have a little family challenge out there.
And, nice.
We may play a second time as well. We'll see what happens.
I've never played golf out there.
No, it's great. There's four courses. They're all different, all great, and unusual. Like, you'd think they'd all be really mountainous, but they're not. There's one is. Shadow Whistler is a little bit mountainous, but there's Nicholas North and the Whistler Golf Club, and then Big Sky, which is just up the road a little bit in Pemberton. That's my favorite.
Well, I'm sure you'll have an absolute blast. I'm looking forward to golfing back out at PEI. We went out there last year. Looking forward to doing it this year with a great group of guys.
Lobster?
Yes, on the first day we're there, we're playing Crowbush Cove.
Yes.
And then after Crowbush, they are taking us out on a boat.
Oh,
to
nice.
Do a lobster thing.
Oh, yeah.
So very cool. Looking forward to that.
I think they show you how they catch lobsters and everything. It's really neat. Actually,
well, I'm going to just take Doc by the ankles, Dr. J, and just hang him over the board, and he'll just come up with it in his mouth, I'm pretty sure. The lobster has no chance. In fact, I'm scared he might come up with something bigger.
Yeah,
that's what it is. All right.
Let's the bluefin tuna out there.
That's it. Let's do a leaderboard report brought to you by Golf PEI. Go to golfpei.ca and discover why Prince Edward Island is Canada's number one golf destination. Russell Knox has broken the logjam, Bob, at the Travelers Championship. He's got it to 8 under par. They went out early to get ahead of some rough weather coming into the area.
Mm-hmm.
A host of players at 7 under as well as 6 under. Interesting, Carlos Ortiz there. You and I were talking off the air. That's an interesting story there. He was the Battlefield winner from last year and was supposed to be in the Olympics and chose this route instead.
Yeah, he's going to try and keep his card. So I think you keep your main job before you represent the Olympics. That's too bad for Mexico, but good for Carlos Ortiz. I think before they went out today, there were something like 23 players within 3 shots of the lead, and there's a whole bunch of guys up there. I see Gary Woodland has got it to 3 under today. He's at 6 under. His interesting note, Gary is now working. His caddy is now Brendan Little, who caddied for Mike Weir for so many years and was with Camilo Villegas, but has now moved over to work with Gary Woodland, so hopefully that partnership looks like it's paying off a little bit so far.
And Nick Taylor, 1 under par. He made it to the weekend. Unfortunately, Adam Hadwin missing the cut in this one. The Canadian story is Hadwin and Taylor, so we'll see if Taylor
Derek Gillespie missed the cut.
That's right, Derek Gillespie has a Monday qualifier. Well, good for Derek for
getting out there
and making the qualifier. Digital Ally Open on the web.com tour. Chris Smith with the lead there. Canadian flag, you got to go down the board on this one to Roger Sloan at 8 under. He's in a tie for 17th. I'm going further down the board, and there was one. Oh, Ryan Yip, there he is at 5 under, the only other Canadian. But we had 7 Canadians in this one, only 2 making the cut, Bob.
Not great. We got to get some of those guys up there. See, not only do you get into top 25 to keep your card, but you got to get, as Adam Stanley said earlier, into the top 75 to keep your web card.
Right, because then you're really wondering where you're going. Because now you're back McKenzie Tour or PGA Tour Latino America, and you've got to earn your status. It's not like you get an automatic spot. You've got to go there now and kind of earn your status back on those tours. So Now, speaking of McKenzie Tour, to some better news stories in the world of Canadian golf, the ATB Financial Classic, this is in Calgary, Alberta, McKenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, Austin Connolly tied for the lead with 2 rounds to go with Carlos Sainz Jr. Tyler McCumber won off the lead. Tyler's a great guy. I get to work with Mark, his dad, Mark, once in a while on our radio team. He is one of the nicest guys on the planet.
Isn't he
Mark
great? McCumber. Super guy. And Corey Renfrew, I see, is just tied for 8th. That's not too bad. And there's a few other bunch of Canadians there. Sebastian Schmierak, Justin Shin, Adam Cornelson, Ryan Williams, Eugene Wong, the real Wongster. I love the real Wongster. Will Bateman, Corey Connors, Riley Fleming, Michael Gligic, Andrew Ledger, Sean Harlington. I'm going to go down the list. They all made the cut.
So great. So good Canadian stories on McKenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, but Austin Connolly sitting on top of that leaderboard, tied for the lead with 2 rounds to go. So maybe a Canadian win on PGA Tour Canada.
He might be the smallest professional golfer I've ever seen. He's like 5'3", 112 pounds. He hits it a mile, of course.
Of course. On the Champions Tour, Bob, 3M Championship, TPC Twin Cities, Glenn Day, who was a Monday qualifier for this one, has the lead at 7 under par, but 1 shot off the lead, Colin Montgomery, Jeff Maggart, and Canadian Rod Spittle. So another Canadian with a chance to win heading into the weekend, this time champions.
The nicest man in golf, Rod Spittle. He's got to be the happiest, friendliest, most polite person you'll ever want to meet. Stephen Ames also T13 there at 4-under, so he's battling. I saw Stephen over at the British Open.
Yeah.
The Open Championship.
It's just just so weird to find a Canadian who's polite and nice. Just,
yeah,
it's just so weird, isn't it?
I guess you don't have to say that, do you?
Now, on the European Tour, you and I were talking a little bit about this one off air. The Aberdeen Asset Management Paul Laurie Match Play. I didn't realize Paul Laurie had the status to get a tournament named after him. I know he backdoored the Jean Vandeveld British Open. But Oliver Fisher and Anthony Wall are all square through eight holes. This is a match play event. They are all square in the one semifinal. Alex Noren is 4-up through seven on James Morrison in the other semifinal. So it looks like it's going to be Alex Noren waiting for the winner of Wall and Fisher to for the final match tomorrow. So
there you go. Big one.
That's a big one. Yeah, big one. And you wouldn't know any of these players if you ran them over with your car. All right. That pretty much does it for today's show, Bob. Another 90 minutes to just rip by.
It goes quick. It's fun.
It is. It is.
Fun.
It's the fastest 90 minutes in all of radio, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hopefully people get out there and play a little golf today. That's I think it's supposed to be not quite as punishingly hot today.
Yeah.
It's still dry. We could use some rain. I hate to say that on the weekend. Maybe it could rain Monday or overnight. That's the best time for it to rain.
And just remember, folks, it's August. The majors are over.
Yeah.
Okay. You live in Canada. You're not too far away from not being able to play golf, or at least not being able to play golf comfortably.
Right.
So easy on the heat complaints. And just stay hydrated. And I usually walk. I get, especially at my own home course, I try to walk. Right,
yep,
I need the exercise.
I do too. Exactly.
But you know what? Don't be stubborn about it. If it's, you know, if it's 40 with the Humidex, take a cart.
That's right.
All right?
That's right. Let's see what the weatherman says today. I think he says it's going to be a little cold.
Southern Ontario, we're at 29 this afternoon is the high.
Okay.
29
well, that's not too
is
bad.
The afternoon.
25,
and
29.
Pure sunshine, so enjoy it. Bob, thanks for doing this. You'll be in this chair next week. I'll be at the John Deere Classic. We have no clue what's going on the following week. But we have lots to get through here on Golf Talk Canada still. We're going to head into FedEx Cup season, so we'll be looking at that 125 bubble. And then we'll be a month away from the Ryder Cup. And we got to take a look at these teams because we haven't talked about it much. But over the next few weeks, we got to start to take a look at the shaping of these teams because they're going to look very different.
Yes.
And especially that European team, a lot of turnover. And a lot of the guys that were American killers not going to be there.
Even how they assemble them, right? They're the captain's
right.
pick. There's like one captain's pick for the U.S. the week before.
It's just a different system. So we'll have to get into that over the next couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to the Ryder Cup. Thanks so much for doing this with us. We're back this week on TV, back next week on radio. Remember, first good decision on the golf course, it always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club, private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at cedarbraegolf.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.